anything and everything Calgary Flames. It's all on Flames Talk. Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Time to say hello to our goaltending expert. It's time to chat between the pipes with Kevin Woodley of In Goal Magazine and NHL.com. He joins us Thursdays on Flames Talk. Funny enough, today's Thursday. With Aaron Vickers, it's Pat Steinberg on a Thursday, October 3rd. And Kevin joins us now on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. Mr. Woodley, appreciate the time as always. Goodness gracious, hey, we're 6 days from the start of the regular season.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to get going because then I won't have to check my calendar every morning to see when it's Thursday.
Yeah, exactly, because everything blends together right now. I wanted to start our chat with you today on one of the things that has popped up on our text line quite a bit. So ever since the Flames signed signed Devin Cooley on July 1st, there's been a lot of talk about, hey, like the Flames are really excited and the goaltending community really likes Devin Cooley, so on and so forth. And so as we've gone through camp, the whole conversation has been about how are they going to manage their three goalies, Dan Vladar, Dustin Wolf, and Devin Cooley. We talked to you a couple of weeks ago about Devin Cooley's waiver situation. And one of the things that has popped up a lot on our text line over the last couple of weeks, when this has become more and more of a conversation and or a debate, you know, I've seen a lot of, why do you guys keep putting Cooley in the same conversation with Wolf and Vladar? Like, the guy has six NHL games and a career 870 save percentage. Why are you guys rating this guy? What am I missing? Why would they even care about him going on waivers? And I thought, because we're now less than a week away from the start of the regular season, and because rosters are due on Monday, and because the Flames still have three goalies on their roster, I just thought I'd ask you that question. What is it about Cooley? What about his skill set, his frame, and what he brings to the position has people so excited, has the Flames as excited and as highly rated as he is?
Well, listen, like, there's still a project element so to this whole thing. And so, like, I guess I understand the pushback. I think one of our conversations was even me saying, like, I worry about having dialed up the hype level too much and the expectations that come with that. But what excites them, and I think what should excite, and one of the reasons that I talk so highly of him, is it's not just the Flames that see this, right? Like, yes, San Jose passed on him last year, but they saw it too. They just didn't have a space in their organization for someone at his sort of where he is and where he needs to be in the time he'll need in the American Hockey League, ideally. The things that excite, I mean, the frame is obvious, right? 6'5". But he moves well. He holds edges well. He's patient. There's a lot of tools that just never really got unlocked properly until the past year. And so he was already a late bloomer in terms of and he's shared this now with reporters there and usually in an entertaining fashion. Hard not to like him for the way he's so open and honest. But, you know, this is a guy that had like no goalie coaching when he was playing junior, like just had literally none. Like, his first goalie coach was basically his playing partner, Joey Decord, who then took him home that summer essentially to the Massachusetts area and introduced him to stop at goaltending, the goalie school that Joey's dad, Brian, runs in the area and one of the sort of premier goalie schools in that area. And, you know, Brian, obviously former Boston Bruins goalie coach, Toronto Maple Leafs goalie scout, Arizona Coyotes director of goaltending. So, like, we're talking like in your mid-teens before you even got a goalie coach. So raw to start with. And then I think in the last year when he arrived in San Jose, there were elements, the phrase I would use, biomechanics. Like, understanding how the body moves and how to move a body that big in a way that doesn't open as many holes. You know, there were tactical and technical steps that he took up to that point, but adding that sort of biomechanical element, and he's talked about this too, how he knows what he needs to do, he knows what it feels like, he just needs to get to a point where he goes out there and does it every time without having to think about it. And I think seeing that unlocked, and yeah, it's an 870, but there's a couple of really rough nights in there. There was also some really good ones. And that's what excited people. They see this as a young goaltender, I guess not so young at, you know, at his age, but in terms of experience, people still see a lot of upside. And listen, being 6'5", people are going to look for that more. No question. You get more chances when you're on the bigger end of the spectrum than you do when you're on the smaller. But there's a lot of skill there, and there's a lot of eagerness to learn. Like, he didn't not get this information because he didn't want it earlier. It's just like, you know, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so he looks to be in a really good spot that way. The things that really opened his eyes and seemed to produce a lot of those good games that we saw last year are things that will be reinforced by the Calgary coaching staff. And that's why, like I said, like, I know there were a number of teams that saw him, again, maybe not ready for the NHL right now, but as a guy who, with a couple of continued tweaks and a little bit more evolution and time with that evolution, could be a legitimate NHL goaltender. To what upside, we don't know, but an NHL goaltender. And when you're signing a guy at that age as an unrestricted free agent, that's found money.
It's hard to ignore the size, obviously. It's hard to ignore the fluidity he has. And now, you reference him as a project that's eager to learn. How long are we talking about until he's a more polished product that might be ready for a full-time NHL role in your eyes?
I mean, some of it's experience, and he figures to get more reps there than he has in the past. But honestly, like, I think the biggest thing, because he reads the game really well. I've had the opportunity to sit down with him and go over game video from last year with the Sharks. And he's not just pointing out, hey, like, I'm anticipating this because that's happening. Like, the way he breaks down and anticipates thing is at a really high level from the comparables. I've done those videos with now, like, over 40 NHL guys. And he really reads the game well that way, but also that willingness to be like, hey, like, this is what I was talking about. This is the old habit that I brought to San Jose coming back in the middle of this game. And even though I get away with it here, I recognize in this video that this isn't how I want to do it. This isn't the most efficient way. I've got exposure here because of this. And so I think from that interaction I've had with him, I think he thinks the game at a really high level. So the biggest thing to me is, get to the point where those little things, whether it's how he holds his stance or his body, where he is on the ice, but mostly the first part, are instinctual. And he's not having to worry about thinking about them in a game. And again, another great quote that he had that he sort of talked with us about, but I saw it in the Calgary media recently. You know, if he goes out there thinking about all these elements, the puck's by him three times and he's still thinking about how he's standing and where he's holding his stick or his glove or right. Those kind of things. Like, it's the old Top Gun quote, right? If you think out there, you're dead. And when we get to the point where all the things he's added in the past, not even calendar year, but when all those things become instinctual and he's not thinking about it, that's, I don't know how long that is, but to me, that's the point where you've got yourself a guy that you can give a real good run in the NHL and see just how much it holds water.
We're chatting with Kevin Woodley, who is our goaltending expert, goaltending guru, In Goal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us on Thursdays here on Flames Talk. So, and I guess we can relate this to the Cooley conversation, because the Flames do have a decision to make if they're going to only carry two goaltenders, and Cooley is waiver eligible, so we would have to go through that 24-hour period of waivers if he were to be assigned to the American Hockey League. You know, we saw a couple days ago, Yuri Patera claimed off waivers by Boston from Vancouver. Then we saw early one day later, you know, both Cal Peterson and Spencer Martin were able to go through waivers and nobody claimed them. I'm curious as to, when you factor in Anaheim, when you factor in Vancouver, when you factor in maybe a few other teams, how you're looking at this waiver wire situation and how that might impact Cooley or other goalies in his situation.
Well, I don't worry so much about Vancouver because their needs aren't in the American League, right? And that's one thing that everybody has to keep in mind. We've talked about it before. You claim a goalie off waivers at this time of year, it's to keep them in the National League. Yep. It's not to put them in the American League. You got to keep them up. So Vancouver's needs are now in the minor leagues. They were hoping that would be Patera, a guy that gives them call-up options. I would say, and this, the only question mark left is Anaheim. And again, with Gibson out because of the appendicitis, 3 to 6 weeks is a timeline. I'd love to know if it's three, then I wouldn't be worried. If it's six, maybe a little more so, because that's the, you know, there's 3 weeks in the end. You know, you got to keep a guy for a month in the NHL if you claim him off waivers. There's your window for a goalie claim for Anaheim. The fact they didn't touch, you know, Spencer Martin. Cal Peterson has had a tough go of it, and with that contract, he wasn't getting touched. Spencer Martin's an attractive contract. He gave the Carolina Hurricanes some good minutes. You know, it really is a tough dance. If you think Anaheim's still looking as an organization, the way Boston was, like, Boston's got their guy now. So yep. You're not worried about them. But if you think Anaheim's still looking, you wait. And I think you do it on that final day when there's a whole bunch of names, in theory, still waiting to go on the waiver wire from a goalie perspective. Now, that could get complicated if, you know, Detroit holds all their guys and Buffalo holds all their guys and Winnipeg decides to roll with three. Because I keep hearing that more and more teams are considering holding three rather than risk what Vancouver just went through. So, you know, there's risk either way. I still think, because even amongst the teams that were really interested in Devin that saw the same upside, all of them wanted to have him with the ability to go to the American League and spend a little time there.
Right.
You know, as far as I know, there was nobody, and this would probably be echo with where he signed, there was nobody saying, you've got an NHL job here. And so, you know, unless it's Anaheim, you're safe right now. If you're worried about the Ducks, you wait till that final day when there's should be more NHL caliber goalie names on the list with them.
Just maybe don't have to spend a ton of time on it, Kev, but what was the reaction in Vancouver with Patera getting claimed? Was that something they were expecting when they put him on waivers?
I don't think so, although, to be honest with you, and my understanding is they're not happy about it because he was the perfect depth guy. They've gone from maybe, like, here's the challenge. Without Demko and no firm timeline on him, you're going to need Shelovs and Lankinen in the NHL. The problem was at some point Demko comes back, and without Demko, Patera is your perfect third in the National Hockey League. When Demko comes back, you pretty much have to, unless, again, you're going to carry three here in Vancouver, but they're pretty tied up against the cap as is, you have to send Shelovs back because he can't risk losing Lankinen. And then there was going to be too many. So their problem is they need a more experienced body in the American Hockey League right now, and basically until Thatcher Demko comes back. And that's a tough thing to do because, again, waivers, you're not claiming a guy to put him in the American League. So you're kind of looking at, you know, PTO options possibly to tie you over. And we see that in the American League all the time. But right now all they have is Nikita Tolopilo and Ty Young, who's eligible to go back to the Western Hockey League but doesn't have a spot in the WHL as a 20-year-old because he lost his starting job in Prince George and they can't try to find a trade partner for him. I think ideally he starts in the ECHL. It leaves their American Hockey League team really thin right now. Do you see a Michael Hutchinson who, you know, just got released off of PTO in the NHL? Do you see a guy like that pick up with their American League team? I think that's the kind of move you're looking at in the meantime for them. But in theory, this doesn't really affect their NHL team because of the Lankinen addition.
Kev, just one more for me, and I can't go a week without asking you about Jeremy Swayman, particularly with the latest development, if you will, in the ongoing saga, which is the Boston Bruins goaltender. How do you view the Cam Neely, Jeremy Swayman sort of standoff we've got going now?
Well, it's hard not to see that as a mistake on Neely's part, just to be so public. And you know, maybe I'm misreading, but it sort of felt almost challenging, his goaltender publicly, just given how much I know about Jeremy's belief in self and confidence in what he is and what he's capable of being. And that's important as a goaltender. You've heard him talk about the arbitration process and the taste it left in his mouth, even though he initiated
it.
So it's kind of like to sort of just the way it put him on the spot, to me, doesn't bode well for this sort of these two sides coming together and getting something done. But maybe the Bruins were desperate because they felt it wasn't going to happen anyways. You know, certainly claiming Patera off waivers is another sign. We saw the GM talk about December 1st as the deadline that they're going to be willing to wait. And goalie Bob Asenza, as a goalie coach, all he does is produce goaltenders. And Jonas Korpisalo, despite a terrible year in Boston or in Ottawa last year, was really good in Columbus and LA the year before. And I know Brandon Boosie, sort of the guy who's now back in the AHL, it'll be his third year pro, like they're really big on him as well. Like all they do is produce goaltenders. So if this will basically depend on how the Bruins start at this point. If Korpisalo gets off on a heater and Boston looks great, they rediscover a little bit of the defensive identity that they lost last season, because they did lean more heavily on their goaltenders last year than in the previous few years with Patrice Bergeron there, then the pressure maybe shifts a little bit. But I just don't see Jeremy Swayman as a guy who's going to blink. And I think putting him in that spot as that publicly doesn't do you any good in the short term in terms of the negotiation. But I also wonder what it does. Like, this is a fan base that every time Tuukka Rask had a bad game was ready to run him out of town. And Rask, like, his career numbers are Hall of Fame level, you know, like one of the best. And that city was always willing to sort of like show him the door with just the slightest sign of something going wrong. And so to sort of put Swayman in that spot in that market, you know, from where I sit, and I'm biased on the goaltending side, but it looks like a mistake to me.
Are we past the point of reconciliation, or what's that deadline? Is that the December 1st deadline? Any sort of patching up between Swayman and the Bruins?
I honestly don't know when we get past that point. Like, again, just because of the way it's turned and the public nature of it, you know, I wonder a little bit if we're close to it already. But if it drags out, like, I just don't know where the leverage points are on Jeremy's side as well, especially if the Bruins get off to a good start, right? Like, are you really going to risk not playing for an entire season? And we've seen the teams that can afford that cap hit. They're not exactly contenders or original six standouts. And again, Jeremy's a really proud guy that you know, liked being a Boston Bruin and sort of everything that came with that. Honestly, I'm at a bit of a loss. I just know this is not a guy that I would try and push his back against the wall to try and force a decision from. And it sure feels from the outside like they've done that. Whether that's repairable or not at this point, you know, probably not for me to say. I'm obviously not in the room, and I haven't talked to Jeremy, you know, since the end of last season. So, it's a bit of a tough one to read. It just felt like more animosity was added with the way that press conference was handled. And maybe that's frustration because they still know they're far apart and they're just not willing to go where he needs them to go anyways, in which case we were headed here, you know, ultimately before it got done. But it just, again, I know this guy a little bit, and it just didn't feel like the right way to handle it.
Yeah. Great stuff, my friend. Really appreciate it, and we will do it all over again next week. But enjoy the start of the regular season, hey, and thanks for joining us as always. Great stuff, Kev.
Yeah, no, appreciate it. Your Flames in here to open it in Vancouver, and looking forward to talking to you guys and breaking it all down the next day.
100%. 100%. Thank you, man.
Thanks, guys.
That is Kevin Woodley. He is our goaltending guru, our goaltending expert, joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline. The best pizza, pasta, steaks, and ribs since 1975. Dine in at 6060 Memorial Drive Northeast, or call him at 403-248-3344 for pickup or delivery. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers along with you, starting to wrap things up on Flames Talk. And Flames Talk this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Treat yourself with up to $500 in savings of fire-resistant gun safes. Explore the full line of safes at CalgaryLockAndSafe.com.